Today, our message is dealing mostly with a farmer. It's called the parable of the sower. And so I want to start off by telling you a little farmer story. There was a farm boy who accidentally overturned his wagon loaded with corn. The farmer who lived nearby heard the noise. He stepped out of his house and said, "Hey, Clarence, forget about your troubles. Come into the house with me and the missus and have a bite to eat. Then I'll help you get the wagon up." "That's mighty nice of you," Clarence answered, "but I don't think Paul would like me to." "Oh, come on," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," Clarence finally agreed, but Pa's not going to like it." After a hearty dinner, Clarence thanked his host. "I feel a lot better now, but I know Pa is going to be real upset." "Don't be foolish," the neighbor said with a smile. "By the way, where is your Pa?" "Under the wagon." Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. We're going to be reading the parable of the sower. You can follow along on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root," as we say up north. I'll say root, as we say down south. "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.'" Hang on, we got a few more verses. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil," somebody say good soil, "hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The title of my message is simply this: good soil bears fruit. Good soil bears fruit. Can we pray this morning? Father, I thank you that we can gather today in this church building. We can gather with other believers and celebrate you, worship you, focus on you. I pray that today we would receive what you have for us. I pray that we would go away a little bit more changed, a little bit closer to you than when we came in. Lord, you have everything in our lives in your hands. Whatever we have come in with, whatever struggles, whatever pain we're dealing with, you have us in your hands. And I pray that today we would all increase the fruit that you've given us. I pray that all of us would make ourselves good soil that would bear fruit. We want to give you glory and give you praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you for listening and reading the scripture. Let me ask you a question. How do you receive? How do you receive? It depends on what it is, right? It's easier to receive a $100 bill than it is to receive criticism. Or how about a punch in the face? I don't like receiving those. Or what about receiving good news? Sometimes we say, what's the catch? We are a skeptical people at times, and sometimes it is difficult for us to receive. But that's what the scripture is all about, receiving the word of the Lord. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. But the seed in this passage is the word of God. The seed of the word of God is being planted all over the world today. Just think about it. It's 11:42 a.m. Eastern time, but all across America, the word of God is being preached in churches all over to this country. All over the world, churches have gathered preaching the word of God. Sunday school teachers are teaching the word of God. Campus missionaries are spreading the word of God. Kids ministries, youth groups, spreading the word of God. Can you think about the millions right now that are hearing the word of God? Some for the very first time. Think about it. How many millions right now are receiving the seed of the word of God? Another question, we won't talk about this too much, but I'll ask you this. How many millions have not heard the word? That's for another time. My assignment, though, is for you here at Freedom Church. All those that came today, my assignment is for you. And I pray that each one of you are receptive to the word of God. I pray that each one that hears it in America and in the world is receptive, but I know they will not be. Why? Because Jesus said it. He listed four types of people that hear the word of God. Number one, there's the ones that hear the word and Satan comes and steals it right away. Boom. There are the people that say, I don't need that. Number two, some seed falls on rocky places. They hear the word, receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. Trouble or persecution comes, they wither away. Still others, number three, like seed sown among thorns, the cares of this world comes in. The deceitfulness of wealth, the Bible says. So those three, I hope, are not you. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope that's not you today. The Bible says, though, that the fourth one is seed sown on good soil. Somebody say good soil. Good soil. I want to be good soil. Do you want to be good soil today for the kingdom of God? I want to be one that just receives the word of the Lord and fruit just come out of me and I just bless all those around me. How many love to eat good fruit? Let me see your hands. How about a delicious apple or watermelon is about ready to come back in season? Or strawberries? Are anybody getting hungry right now? Or lemons? Or tomatoes? Is tomato a fruit or a vegetable? I think it's a vegetable, but it's still really good. You know what, church? We love to eat good, and I'm telling you what, the kingdom needs some good soil people today. The Freedom Church needs some good soil people today. I'm not talking about being dirty. Not in that sense. I'm talking about having a heart that is receiving what God has. I want to talk to you today about category number four, the good soil. How can you and I have good soil? How can we produce good fruit? I want to receive what God has for me and produce good fruit. So as I start this message and start this part, I'm going to tell you right up front, I want you in the altars today. I believe God wants to meet you, and He wants to share His love for you. He wants to share His joy with you. Some of you are going to have an encounter with God today. Amen? Three of you agree with me. Thank you. Do you want to live a fruitful life where you're producing crop for the kingdom of God? If you say yes, then let's go. If you say no, just pretend, nod your head, and maybe God will speak to you anyways. Amen? Three things we need. First thing right here. We need to be a person that receives the gospel. The first part about planting is receiving the gospel. If you don't receive it, then nothing can grow. I know this is so simple. This is so simple. You may want your money back, but if you just pay attention, I believe that God can speak to us through the simplicity of this parable of the sower. You see, the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His Son so we could, say it again, receive. Say it again, receive. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that we might receive. I remember my dad and his dad, and I'm going to just take a time out and say thank you for blessing my family and I and for loving our family during the time where my dad passed away in January. Thank you so much for your kindness and your words and just for taking care of us. My dad, in case you do not know, my dad was going 100% at 84 years old, ministering and Bible studies and preaching as often as he could. And he would tell me, I'm preaching at this nursing home and this health center, and I'm doing the Bible study tonight. And he was doing great at Christmas, and New Year's Day came, and he seemed to be doing well. He got maybe a little cold, but January 4th, we could not get a hold of him. And finally, the authorities had to go down to his house, and they found him. But he had been going 100% all the way up to that time. And I thank the Lord for a dad that loved the Lord. And he went peacefully. And I praise God for that. So I say thank you for helping me and my family during that time. But I remember many years ago as a kid, I was in the car and we were at my grandfather's house. And my grandfather used to keep bees. And he would make honey. And he would sell honey and put them in jars and sell them for profit. I don't even know how that all worked back then. But I remember watching from the window of the car, my dad had stopped to get honey from his dad. And there they were tussling over a jar of honey. You take the money. I will not take money from you, son. You will not pay me $20. And I remember this. What's going on? I don't remember who won. I don't remember if my dad won or my grandfather won. I just remember this receiving issue. It's hard for us to receive gifts at times. It's hard for us to receive good things. What's the catch? There's a couple of kids that I mentor at school. And I had the privilege of being a conduit for Christmas gifts to them. One kid that I was able to give a gift to, he started to cry. He wrapped his arms around me, began to weep. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Another kid, he sat there like this. He didn't say thank you. He didn't know how to receive. Do you like him? Yeah. I knew he liked him because after Christmas, he told me he put them all together. But something in his life, he did not know how to receive. Today, we need to learn how to receive. Receive what the Bible says. Receive in our heart. Receive the gospel. Church, if you want to produce good fruit in your life, first thing you got to do is to receive it. If you've never received it today, you can receive the gospel today. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The second thing that we need to do, and I appreciate Pastor Marco helping me, this is where it gets a little bit tougher. We need to apply the gospel. Many people are good at receiving. Many people are good at saying a prayer. Many people think, well, if I just pray, I'm okay. Well, let me tell you, Jesus said the good soil is not enough just to have rocks and thorns hinder the gospel. You've got to take that gospel and apply it to your life. You've got to apply it to your faith. You've got to apply it. Pray it over your life. Allow the gospel to change. Somebody say change. Church, I believe we still need people that have been transformed by the gospel. Transformed. Allow the gospel to change you. Get it down deep in your soul and in your system. Now, I brought with me a little jar of this. You probably can't see it really well, but can you tell what this is? It's Vicks. When the kids get real sick, when they start coughing really bad in their throat and their lungs, a lot of times I will take this and I will put this right on their chest and I'll put it right underneath their nose. Sometimes I'll even put it under their feet. All right, anybody ever do the feet thing? Okay, all right, some of you do. And man, what I want this Vicks to do is while they're sleeping, I want the Vicks to get up in their nostrils. I want it to get in their lungs. And I want it to begin to heal them through the night as they're sleeping. And I believe the gospel needs to be like that. I believe the gospel needs to get all up in us, into our brain, into our heart, into our soul. If I could sell a gospel ointment for $19.99, anybody in favor of that? I'm just kidding. There's probably something out there like that. But if we could have the gospel ointment that just gets all in us. Too many Christians, they want to say a simple prayer and then act like everybody else in the world. They want to continue to be like the world. They don't want to have any life-transforming power in their life. We need to apply the gospel. Give Jesus permission to be the Lord of your life. Apply the gospel to your marriage. Apply the gospel to your business. Apply the gospel to your playtime. Apply the gospel to school. Somebody say amen. All the kids in school, amen. So receive it and apply it. A couple went to a pastor once and said, Pastor, this is years ago. They said, Pastor, this gospel thing ain't working for me and my family. And the pastor looked at them and said, really? Have you really applied it? You see, there's nothing more miserable than a person that's halfway in the gospel and halfway out. You see, the person that is dealing with the rocks and the thorns continually pestering their soil, not applying it, you're miserable. I heard a long time ago that if you're going to sin, sin big. If you're going to live for God, live big for God. Amen? Because half-hearted Christians, hypocritical Christians, is not doing Jesus any good. He is wanting those that are sold out for him, sold out for his presence, sold out for all that God has for us. Amen? Apply it. Apply it. So the first two, these are what happens underground. These are what happens many times when no one's seen, or maybe at an altar, or maybe in your prayer closet, or in Bible study, in praying, apply the principles of God's word. And then you have the third thing, Pastor Marco. Receive. Apply. And the third thing is live the gospel. Live the gospel. If you have received, if you have applied, now it becomes a whole lot easier to live the gospel. It becomes a whole lot easier to walk into school, walk into your business, because it's already down deep into your soul. Amen? Live the gospel. Take what you've received and applied. Now live it out. This must match the gospel. If your life does not match the first two, then something's wrong. Let me say it again. If your life does not match the first two, then something's wrong. Some people try to live differently, ashamed of their faith. I used to have a kid in my youth group 20 years ago. He'd go to camp. He'd come back fired up, man, on fire for God. God would touch him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he would go to football, and then he would go to school, and he would fall right back down. He wasn't living what he was applying. I want to tell you today, that kid is a youth pastor. At some point, he began to apply and live it out. Now he's bringing kids on missions trips. He's bringing his family, and they're spreading the gospel all over. You see, there is hope for your child. Amen. Your child may not be living it right now, but you keep believing that they're going to receive, applying it, and one day, hopefully, they'll begin to live it outside of church. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep praying for that child of yours. Amen. Live what you mean, believe what you say, and say what you mean. Love God. Love one another. These are the principles, the basic principles that Jesus taught. Forgive one another. When you sin, be quick to repent, especially if you're married. Amen. Husbands, just wake up in the morning. I'm sorry.
That's right.
You see, when you begin to live the gospel after you have applied and received, you begin to live it out. You begin to live it out in school. I'm so proud of my intern, Taylor. God's been doing a work in her life. A girl in art class was going through struggles and hardships, And Taylor said, well, can I pray for you right now in art class? You see, when we begin to live it out, the fruit begins to come out everywhere we go. In your business, at Walmart, on your street. Because now you're not forcing, you're just living. So many times people think we need to be super, super Christians to live out and get the fruit that we need. No, we're just living the principles God has given us. There are so many of you right now that you're living your faith out in your business. You're praying for people. God is bringing people to your doors. You are letting the fruit of God come out in your life. And I say, praise God for that. You are an army of the kingdom of God right where you are at. The problem is there are some people that want to live their faith out, but they have not received and applied it. Oh, I see what they're doing, so I want to do that. And they go out and they try to live, but there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's no, it's not down in their soul and their system. And they try to share it. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and he looked at me, this is many, many years ago. He goes, I don't see it in your eyes. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I don't see that what you're saying is matching what you believe. It convicted me. You know what, church? The great thing about this gospel is this becomes a cycle. Because, watch this, I can receive today, I apply it, and then I live it. And after I let the fruit come out, then I go back again and I receive some more, I apply it, and then I live it. You see, church, it's not just a one-time through, but I receive it, I apply it, and then I live it. And I keep going back, and the good soil keeps producing good fruit and good tomatoes and good apples and good watermelon. It becomes good. And if there's some bad stuff that comes out, then I need to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, what rocks have come into my heart? What thorns? You know what thorns are? That Bible says they're all good things. Cares of this world. We all have cares. Deceitfulness of wealth. Anybody need money to live on? All of these things can be good things, but it keeps us away from living out what God has for us. To bear fruit. That's why we're here today. Some people may say, God loves me just the way I am. I don't need to change. Well, if you believe that, he sure loves you. Look at your neighbor and say, God sure loves you. But you're not going to bear fruit. You may bear fruit of yourself, you may bear fruit of your own goodness, but you're not going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And I'm praying that we are raising up an army of believers that are going to live the gospel and bear fruit for Him. How do we do all this? We put ourselves aside. We lay ourselves aside and we say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I receive, and I'm going to apply it, and then I'm going to live. I'm going to live the gospel. The more we come in tune with this presence, the more fruit we will bear. I'm going to ask the worship team if they will come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I know there are those who are struggling today. They're struggling with the gospel in their life. The gospel is hard. Even Jesus said that 3 out of 4 people, the seed, it's a challenge to get to the good soil. But I pray today that the good soil would show up, that the good soil would be cultivated, that the good soil would become a part of our life. Hallelujah. If you've never received the gospel today, if you've never received the gospel today, you can receive the gospel. You simply say, "Here I am, Jesus. I've done this on my own enough. I want you. I receive the gospel." If you're a couple today, if you're a family today, and you say, like my friends from years and years ago, they said, "This gospel thing isn't working for us." Maybe you need a fresh touch. A fresh receiving, a fresh applying. If you're a teenager here today and you say, "It's not really working for me. I'm struggling at school." Maybe you need a fresh receiving, a fresh applying. Because God loves you so much, He wants to see good fruit in you. Will you stand with me today? I told you my goal was to see you come to the altar. And that this simple message would speak to your soul. I want to be receiving today. If God has spoken to you through this message, and you want to receive afresh, you need a fresh applying of the gospel, I want you to make your way down when they begin to play the worship. And I want you to begin to say, "God, I want to just get closer and more in tune with you so I can bear fruit for the kingdom of God." Doesn't matter where you're at in life. Doesn't matter who you are. The Lord loves you and wants you to bear fruit.